Anavisto below the 200 metres, leading a length and a half to Equimenical and Aidens Field. Anavisto, Equimenical's chiselling into the lead. Anavisto about a half length, and Anavisto does enough to score. Equimenical second.
There it was, the Wisps silent partnership in Anavisto. Salutes again on Saturday, beautifully called by Matt Hill. Got a big Saturday coming up. Group 1 Underwood Stakes, Saturday at Sandown. Then he's going to have to race home, getting his Western Bulldog jammies and get on the couch and watch the big one. G'day, Matty.
G'day, boys. Nice to talk to you. And you know that racing people get up very, very early, about 4 in the morning. That's usually reserved for jockeys and everything, and not race callers. So it's great to talk to you.
Well, you've got to get some rest in because you've got a very big Saturday. You're a mad Western Bulldogs, man, and we're going to try and touch base with as many demons and dog supporters throughout the course of this week in the lead-up to the grand final. What is Saturday going to be like for you?
Oh, it's going to be pretty nerve-wracking. I find, because our whole family is completely obsessed with the Western Bulldogs, that it is quite nerve-wracking and emotional. I always think back to my grandmother, God bless her, who's not with us anymore, but she used to just trudge out to the Western Oval and Waverley Park and go out to Victoria Park and just see the Bulldogs get beaten time and time again. And she used to do that and take me along with her most of the time. But there was some very hard, long years there, particularly in the 80s and the 90s for Bulldog supporters. So I always sit back and think about that a lot. And of course, we broke the drought a few years ago. So for me, it's very much a family connection as well. Have a very soft spot for the Bulldogs, and it's going to be a terrific match. I mean, Melbourne have just been unbelievable all year. They've been imperious all year. So I think, to be honest, we've got the best grand final. The romance of this particular event, because it's in Perth, and it's going to be close. There's no fear about that. So can't wait for it, really.
Hey, Matt, what's your earliest best memory of barracking for the Bulldogs as a kid?
I reckon it would have been the couple of memories I've always got. I remember in the days where you'd just go to the football and the people that were around you were always the same week in, week out. And I'd sit at the forward pocket at the Witten Oval and watching a guy like Simon Beasley strut his stuff. I can remember that in the early 90s. And probably the best memory from a kid was going to a famous game where Stephen Collingnook took on the man on the mark he was about 40 metres out from goal. We beat Collingwood at the MCG. And we were all crammed into the MCG that year because the Great Southern Stand was being built. And there was capacity for about 50 to 60,000. And it was a bit of a blockbuster on a Sunday afternoon. And we weren't expected to beat Collingwood, and we did. So I reckon that goes back to about early 90s for me.
Did you sit there and call the game as it was in action?
No, what I used to do was kick a ball around the backyard, and I'd also I'd call my progress, and I'd have a little chalkboard in the backyard with the football scores, but I'd also have a little section on the side that said race, because remember the scoreboard used to have race with all the race results, and it was either that or I had a couple of archways in my lounge room, and I'd kick a balloon from archway to archway, and I'd pretend that it was a football, and I'd call. So, I was obsessed.
Of course you were. Now, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great grand final. Two very, very good sides that I think match up pretty well too. Who do you think wins and why?
Look, I don't want to be a pessimistic bulldog, but the one thing that it worries me is the Demons are just so hard to score against. And I fear that we're putting too much eggs into the one basket with Bailey Smith. And I think Oliver Petrarca, Viney in the middle, they might just be a little bit too hard to beat. So I think it's going to be very, very close. Obviously, heart says Bulldogs, but the brain says Melbourne by a very slender margin. Unfortunately for Bulldog supporters and Demon supporters, I think we're going to be on the edge of our seats, boys.
I like your reverse psychology here, though. I really do. I can see what you're doing, Matty, and I applaud it.
Yeah, Simon Goodwin will pick up on this. He'll go, right, Matty thinks we're home. You've got also racing. So you've got the Group 1 Underwood Stakes on Saturday, the Moyes Stakes, which is Group 1 racing, on Friday night. So you've got a fair bit to get sorted and organised before you can get down and settle the footy.
Absolutely. Look, it's going to be a terrific weekend of racing with the Moyer. Of course, the night racing kicks off on Friday night, and then we've got the Underwood. So, and it's going to be a unique Underwood because it's been moved to Sandown as well. So Zaki, who's one of the best horses in the country, is heading towards Sandown as well. And then, of course, some of the lead-up races towards the spring. We've already had a terrific day last Saturday with the Guineas Preludes and Sierra Sue winning the big race, the Rupert Clark. So I think we've got a really good spring coming up. Not as many internationals will be coming for the Melbourne Cup, but there's still three or four of them at the top of the markets, and everything's shaping up really nicely. And that little press conference that was held yesterday just gives us a little bit of hope that there could be crowds at the Melbourne Cup Carnival as well.
It does. And just quickly before we let you go, Anna Visto, you saw her up close and personal at the weekend. Has she got a Group 1 in her?
Well, that's the plan, isn't it? Because for the Empire Rose Stakes, she's probably about fifth or sixth pick, and a couple of the other horses that are right up there in markets are heading towards bigger races, such as Colette for a Caulfield Cup, Probabile, Mystic Journey for Cox Plate. So I hope so. For you guys, absolutely, I hope so.
Is that what you had in... Did you concur with Matt there? Did you have it for the Empire Rose Stakes?
I thought he might have been slightly more complimentary about any of his first chances of winning a Group 1, but that's okay. He's just playing his cards close to his chest, which is fine.
I think she got the job done. She got the job done on Saturday, but at the same time, she was only second up. So she'll strip a lot fitter third and fourth up, and she's got class, Tim. She's got class like the owners. She's got a bit of class.
Yeah, she's got that.
Like the Bulldogs as well too, Matty. I don't know whether I can wish you too much luck on the weekend, but I think it's going to be nice and tight, and we're all looking forward to it. It's going to be a beauty. So thanks for coming on and sharing some of those memories.
For sure. Good on you, boys.
On you, Matty.
Racing.com's Matty Hill. You can catch Matty in all the Group 1 action on Friday night and Saturday on racing.com. Lines open now, 1-300-736-736. Here's your chance to talk about the Brownlow. You can talk about the grand final. We can talk about it. We'll talk about it all the way up till Saturday, or anything that's caught your eye. I watched a little bit of rugby. I watched a bit of rugby on the weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
What,
we
the rugby?
South Africa.
Oh, okay, the rugby union.
Yeah. I've got some thoughts on that.
Have you?
We won.
You're going to share them with us?
Yeah, I am. Well, I can do it now. Yeah, we've got some time now. I turned it on, and seriously, it was the scrum, is it, where the two teams sort of pack in. And
they lock in the pack, yeah.
Rolls the ball in. It collapsed three times. Nothing happened for a minute and a half.
Right.
The ball went in, the collapse went. The bloke goes, no, don't do that. I told you to get lower. So I'm sitting there going, okay, when am I going to see some action? Rolled the ball in, collapsed. Listen, boys, I told you about that. It just was the greatest wasted 2 minutes I've ever seen.
Okay, you wanted to get rid of that?
Someone's going to have to tell me. I don't know anything about rugby. But it was just appeared to me to be nothing happening for long, long, long periods of time. When the ball moves.
When it gets in there. Oh, it's a great game. Yeah.
In motion, it was unbelievable. But, poor crumbs. What was this? And then they kick it out of bounds and the bloke throws it in and... That's my very, very technical summation of the rugby.
Excellent, it was too. Excellent.
1-300-736.
Has it got a future, the game, do you think, or not?
736. I thought the Aussies looked great.
Yep.
We won, so that helps. Mark Leishman tied for the lead still. 14 under through, 13 holes at the moment with Maverick McNeely at 14 under.
I remember telling you a long time ago, though, keep your eye on Matty Hill. I said he's a young caller, up and coming. He's got what I believe is what you need to have to be one of the great callers in this country, and it's proven to be correct.
What was that?
Well, he's got the goods. He's a great caller, Matty Hill.
Oh, he is.
I reckon, you know, I've listened to him on SEN as well, calling the football. He's capable, and he was great at the Olympics as well, calling for Channel 7.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're the one who appoints everyone at Channel Wisp. One word about you about Justin Lepich, next minute he's hosting the damn coverage. I'm surprised he's not over here in Perth.
Well, there's a very strong pull for him towards racing, though. That's the other thing. We've got to get him away from that, maybe into the commentary box at Channel 7 a little bit more.
Right.
Have you got a backup plan for the racing? If he was to be taken out of the racing, who would fill that bridge?
No, I do not. He's the standout. He's the absolute number one man, so I don't know what the backup plan would be. Just another little fun fact. I've been reading a lot about the Brownlow Medal voting. Jordan Ruffhead, 192 games without a vote now. He's got the record. It's 192 in a row. He's played 200 games, yeah. Jordan, so he must have got a vote in the first eight. But he's gone 192 without a vote.
He needs to dye his hair or do something.